David Bedford is an apple breeder. And while you probably don't know him by name, you've probably tasted his apples. David and his team at the University of Minnesota are apple superstars, responsible for explosively crisp, crunchy, sweet, and flavorful apples like the Game Changers, the Honeycrisp, the Zest Star, the Snow Sweet, and the Sweet Tango. And David isn't slowing down. His team plans to release a brand new apple sometime next year. Well, David took some time away from the orchard and joined me in the studios at American Public Media. David, it's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here again.
Now, you developed the Honeycrisp, worked with the team that developed the Honeycrisp. But what were some of the other apples that you've worked with?
Well, certainly Honeycrisp was our best-known release,
right.
But we have a few newer ones, too. Zest Star, Snow Sweet are two of the ones that have come out since the Honeycrisp.
Yeah, and those are in the stores now.
That's right, yeah. But probably our best-known child of Honeycrisp, if we would say it that way, would be Sweet Tango. And then I also brought another one today that's a brand-new release that we haven't even talked about yet.
Okay. I'm thinking about how taste has changed, that now we seem to like sweetness. I'm thinking, you know, our wines are sweeter, but also bold flavors and spice and crunch and salt. Does any of that affect how you think out the development of a new apple?
Well, I think it does. I mean, if I go back to my childhood, my career was almost derailed by a single apple, and that was Red Delicious. I was raised on Red Delicious and sort of lost interest in apples because of that. And yes, it is and was a beautiful apple, but the flavor was really not that much. So I came into it thinking that apples were good for you. I'm sure they are, but not that excited about it. And somewhere along the line, I became exposed to the range of apple flavors and tastes and textures that we hadn't seen. And so I fell in love with it. And so I found a good home here at the University of Minnesota, where our purpose is to make apples exciting to eat.
Do you remember what was the apple that was the aha moment for you?
Well, I think the one that I remember the best certainly was Honeycrisp. That was so different when I first tasted it. I was a young man just out of grad school, and I didn't know the whole range of apples and what was possible. But when I tasted Honeycrisp, it sort of reset my brain as to what was possible. And it was so good, I wasn't even sure what it was. It was a totally unexpected experience.
The thing about a Honeycrisp I think that's so interesting is the crispness.
Yes.
But also, it's not just sweet. It has so much going on, complexity.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting piece of fruit.
Yes, I think so.
That's the standard for me anyway.
Yes.
The other thing is size. Now, I just started buying, we see it this time of year, the crab apples, the little guys. And there's one that is in the market now, it's called chestnut crab apple.
Oh, yes.
These little apples, which I always associated with pickling or making, some sort of condiment out of, I started tasting them. They are sensational. And this little apple, crab apple, is the perfect size for me to slice into a salad.
Mm-hmm.
Or to just munch on. Is there a future now with smaller apples?
Yes. Well, we have this whole genetic range of sizes. And I think, of course, when apples were originally in the wild, they were quite small. They were really meant to feed animals more than us. And as we've developed apples and bred them and developed new varieties, we've tended to make them bigger just so that they're more showy. But there is a limit to that idea. And in fact, I think in apples in particular, the big apple looks nice, maybe in the grocery shelf or maybe sitting in front of you on the table, but it's hard to eat an apple the size of a softball. So we are not looking for bigger. We're happy to have a whole range of apples. And in fact, a couple of the ones that I brought with me are fairly small. The tennis ball size and smaller really is an easy apple to fit in your hand. It fits your mouth mm-hmm. size. You can always finish it. And my theory is, if it's not enough, have a second one.
So are we going to see more? We're going to see more little apples?
Well, I don't know that it's an emerging trend, but let's say that the small ones are not going away completely.
Are apples getting sweeter?
Well, I think the trend, as apples are eaten by larger groups of people, there is more interest in sweeter apples. So I wouldn't say that we're making them sweeter, but we're certainly, we have a wider range. Still, mm-hmm. we see that people, even geographically in the U.S. and Northern Europe, tend to like a little more acidity with their apples. It has to be a balance.
A sweet acid balance.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the classic apple flavor is sweet and tart. But now as we see apples being eaten in more populations, and I say as we get closer to the equator, mm-hmm. there's less tolerance or interest in acid. So we have to have a whole range of apples.
So are my favorite tart pie apples, the crispy ones, are they going to kind of be ebbing, going away?
Well, I think there'll always be a market for them, and I hope we never get back to the point of Red Delicious I'm sorry I keep going back to my old nemesis, but where we have one apple that tries to keep everybody happy.
It's the
happy.
Blandest. I mean, it's it unfortunate. Is. It really is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a time when that was all we could get.
That's right, yeah. But I have to, as part of my job, taste about 500 apples a day, and we're looking for the newest and best things in our breeding program. But the two most important characteristics that we're always looking for are texture and flavor.
Well, I see that you brought some friends with you.
Yes.
Yes. I should describe what we have in front of us are 10 different apples, and they range in size from being a golf ball, a generous golf ball, but there are 1, 2, 3 smaller apples here. One is almost black. Mm-hmm. It's this deep, deep, almost black crimson. One is bright yellow, and the other one is speckled. And then we have some apples that are round and some apples that are heart-shaped. There's an apple over here that looks a lot like a Red Delicious. And then there's an apple that ate the city of St. Paul. This thing is huge. This is the size of a grapefruit or very close to it. So, David, after all of this talk of the small apple, where did this baby come from?
Well, that's just one that came through different crosses we were making. We weren't intentionally trying to develop the new grapefruit-sized apple, but it came. But this one, our intention was to get a crisp textured apple that was low acid. It happened to turn out to be a pretty big one.
Is that the family apple? I mean, you could feed 4 people from that apple.
I think you could, yeah.
It's a beautiful looking thing. It's red. I mean, it's the apple you bring to the teacher kind of apple.
Yes.
What is the name of it?
It's just a number still. Hasn't been released, so it's just part of our breeding program. So no name. If things go well, maybe next time I see you, it will have a name and be released.
So, okay. Let's taste. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I think we're going to start with Honeycrisp, just because most people know that now, I think.
Yeah.
And it kind of represents kind of a breakthrough in the apple breeding world, for us at least. So let's start with that. And,
okay.
I'll cut one.
And this is about the size of a hardball mm-hmm. or a baseball, and a beautiful red color.
Yes, yes.
Red, with a touch of orangey red to it.
Yeah.
White flesh. Oh, gosh, this smells so good. It's perfumey. Okay, so we crunch.
Yep.
Oh, my. Tart and sweet, and it just hits the palate. And you know what I've always loved? The balance of this apple.
Yes, yes, I agree. I think for us, the best compliment you can pay an apple flavor, doesn't sound exciting, but is to be well-balanced. And it will have this component of sugar and this component of acidity. And without that, either it becomes insipid or it becomes blindingly tart.
Uh-huh,
so this
right.
this kind of straddles that middle ground.
And
nicely.
This is the apple I remember you telling us you took 30 years to
That's
develop.
Right. Mm-hmm,
okay, what's
mm-hmm.
next?
Well, I think what I'll show you now is one of Honeycrisp progeny, a child of Honeycrisp that has just been introduced fairly recently and starting to make its way to the marketplace, and that is Sweet Tango.
Okay, now Sweet Tango is a little smaller, But the color is similar. It's a red apple, and it has that heart shape. It's a great name, by the way. Who comes up with the names?
Well, it used to be a fairly simple, small group of us, and now it's gotten more and more complex, of course, with trademarking and whatnot. So, yeah, it depends on the variety, but it's...
Okay. Well, it looks a lot like a Honeycrisp. It's the white, whitish or cream-colored flesh. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Different texture.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's finer grained. It's crisp, but...
Mm-hmm.
This tastes like there's a wine quality to it, a winey sort of depth to it.
Mm-hmm.
The sweetness is there. It's not quite as tart as the Honeycrisp.
Mm-hmm.
And was that the goal with this?
Yeah, to some degree. We're trying to always produce something different. No point in reproducing things with just slight differences. And I think for us, Sweet Tango has one of the more intense balances of sugar and acid.
The aftertaste is acid and sugar, and it's really lingering and it's very pleasant.
Yes,
you
good.
Want more.
Yeah.
In fact, really, your mouth waters.
Yes, you're right.
This is good development. Okay. All right. So this is now a family tree you're giving me.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. The next one I'd like to show you is a brand new child of Honeycrisp. In fact, we're just introducing
it. We have the son of, the return of, the revenge of Honeycrisp.
That's right. This is one that we're just introducing the name of. In fact, you're the first person that we've talked about it publicly with.
I am so, very, very flattered.
Well, we're glad to have you to taste it with me as well. So this was a variety that we tested for a number of years. This was 17 years from the breeding until the release. And it was tested all along under its number, which was Minnesota 1955.
Uh-huh.
And now we're releasing it under two trademark names. The national trademark name will be Rave, R-A-V-E. And then we're also going to have a second trademark for Minnesota-grown fruit to sort of distinguish that. And that name will be First Kiss. It happens to be the first apple of the season, and so we played on that characteristic a little bit.
I like the name a lot. I like it.
Let me give you a taste. And
now,
see
this
you...
looks like a Red Delicious. It's the heart shape.
It is. That's right. And very red. But I think you'll find there's very little similarity inside.
Poor Red Delicious. I mean, we really beat up on that apple. I feel very badly for the folks who developed it. Okay. The flesh is creamy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but it smells different.
It is, yeah.
It's more of an old-fashioned apple smell.
Oh, that's interesting. It's very juicy, I think you'll find, and a little tartar than the other two.
Oh, okay. Still crisp, but not with the snap of the... Oh, yeah. Oh, this is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, I can see this not just for pie, but I could see this sautéed, you know, with a piece of fish or whatever. I mean, all of these apples would lend themselves, but this with that tartness, and it lingers.
Yeah.
This is delicious.
Yeah,
I think it's
a memorable eating experience, which we say is our goal in our apple breeding.
Yeah, you know, it almost tastes like there's been a little lemon juice and sugar mixed in to a really complex apple flavor. Whereas the Sweet Tango reminded me of a wine with that kind of depth, it's not tasting of citrus, but it reminds you of citrus.
Mm.
And it has that freshness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this will be available not this year, but in 2017, that will be coming to market. So
First Kiss.
Yes.
Can't forget it.
And Rave. Rave and First
Rave.
Kiss. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other children of Honeycrisp?
Well, I'd like to show you the grandparent of Honeycrisp.
Oh.
And that would make it the great-grandparent of the other two that we've eaten. Now, I don't know if you're going to like it or not, but one thing I think you'll probably agree, this will be the most uniquely flavored apple you've ever had.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Okay, now this is small and rounder, and it looks almost like it's striped with gold and red, and there's a name tag, Frostbite.
That's right.
And so this is a Minnesota apple, right?
It is. That's right. Yeah. And you can see this is probably an apple that's better meant for radio than TV.
It looks like an apple.
It does look like an apple.
It's an apple made for radio. I see what you mean. The flesh has a yellowish tint to it. Very mm-hmm. pleasant. Now, let's see. Oh, my Lord. You get this hit of sort of a pineapple or vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
It's crisp, but it has a finer texture. But it doesn't have the intensity of flavor mm-hmm. that we tasted from the other three.
Yeah. But yet, when you look at them side by side, you almost couldn't imagine this being the grandparent of those three.
Because it's smaller.
Yeah.
Now, how many parents does the Honeycrisp have?
Well, two parents, I don't have the parents with me today. I just have the grandparent, just because that's where that unusual flavor comes from. But in Honeycrisp, it's been moderated. We've kind of raised the sugar and acid so that the almost the tutti-frutti flavor isn't quite so apparent there. So,
but the tutti-frutti flavor, you can see where you were heading.
Yeah.
Look, there's one. I know we don't have time for all these apples, but there is one apple here that I've got to try. It's almost black. It's small. It's round, probably about 2 inches in diameter. And I've just never seen an apple that color. I'm really curious as to, what is this? Does it have a name yet?
It doesn't. It's just part of our breeding program. And you're right. The outside is unique. It's it is very dark red. But I think you're going to be surprised. The real unique feature of this apple is inside.
Okay.
And, let's hope that it doesn't disappoint either of us. And
this is all right. Now you cut it across,
yep.
So I can see the five-pointed star of the core,
mm-hmm.
and then it's pale pink, scalloped. This is the sort of next gradation of color from the seeds, and then along the skin, it's coral.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to name this something like, you know, the cha-cha-cha mm-hmm. or the mystery. I'm going to taste it.
Well, I'll warn you, it's not a great tasting apple. We're still in the development phases, but you can see where we're headed. An interesting...
It's not quite just a pretty face.
Uh-huh.
It's got flavor.
Okay.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that's the intent, was to see if we can have red-colored flesh, pink-colored flesh. Now, we still have to work on the other characteristics, the texture, the flavor, all those things. But at least you're seeing an early view of
It's like starting with the makeup and then working backwards. David, fascinating. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm glad to have a chance to share some of the work that we're doing in the world of apple breeding with you.
David Bedford is Senior Research Fellow at the University of Minnesota's Horticultural Research Center. And that new apple with the two names, The Rave or First Kiss, well, that's going to be available nationwide sometime next year. Now, you can listen to my extended conversation with David, which includes an apple tasting, by the way. Just head to the website, splendidtable.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out our collection of apple recipes. All neatly packaged, just for you. And you'll also find that collection of apple recipes, along with their pretty pictures, on our Pinterest page.